welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, my friends. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. Happy to be here with you today. Today I had such a fun, uplifting conversation with Brooke Wyman. So Brooke is the co-owner of our local beachy, hot yoga studio. And there are two locations, actually. Brooke also owns a studio in Bethesda, Maryland. But here in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, Soul Fire Collective is just a place to be. It has an energy and a feeling of community and belonging, and I just love it. And I am actually not a yogi myself. My daughter is the one who brought me into the Soulfire community. But having walked through their doors, I was just so inspired by Brooke and the class and the message. And then when I was able to go up to her later and say, Brooke, thank you for offering my child such an incredible community and experience, she like fell all over the fact that she couldn't believe it was me because she had been doing my work and it had changed her life. And so we really had quite the be shared moment. And she also showed me these incredible photos of her before and after and her ability to stretch and to have flexibility and to be in her body without pain on the mat from doing my work. So it was kind of an amazing moment. And I said to Brooke, we have to hop on the podcast and have you tell your story, because the one thing that I think I lack sometimes is I don't talk enough about embodiment. I live often in my heart and in my mind and in the conversation between the heart and mind. But embodiment is really important. How we take this work and then move back into our physical bodies. And yoga is one way to really experience that. And Brooke and her wife, Kat, are definitely, if we can make it, going to come to Omega next summer, because it was so, so amazing being in their class. And we were trying to work it out for this year. We could not, but hopefully for next year we will. So anyway, I just wanted to share that story with you. You will enjoy it. Her energy is so lovely. And we get to talking about journal speak and about how this work really can affect the way you experience your body. And then, of course, the way you can experience your life and relationships as a result. So we'll get into that in just a minute. Just a quick note to say that if you are looking for me personally to guide you on this journey in real time, the best way to do that is in my membership community. I get tons and tons of emails and DMs from you saying, Nicole, please, 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 you know, do you do one-on-one work? Work with me. This is such a great way to work with me personally. So what the membership community is it's a monthly membership. Once you are in it, there are two Zooms a month with me. One is 3 hours. One is a one-hour Q&A where I am literally answering your personal questions. I'm getting to know you guys really personally. And then we have an online private group on Facebook where we are continually in conversation and I'm answering your questions every day. So it's very personal. It's really powerful. I just wanted to make sure to keep coming on here to let you know that if you want my very personal guidance, that's the way to get it. And I'm here for you. Just go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, scroll down just a touch, and you will see the button that allows you to join our monthly membership group. And once you pay, you will be brought to a page with all the links that you need to get started. All right, my loves, no more housekeeping. Right on to our interview. Enjoy this message of mind, spirit, and body with Brooke Wyman. Hey, everybody. Welcome. Today I'm here with Brooke. Welcome, Brooke.
Hello.
I'm so excited to have Brooke here today because I know her personally. A little tiny bit of backstory is that Brooke is the owner, one of co-owner of a local yoga studio that is quite the place to be in my town. And I've known her, you know, kind of like really just sort of lightly on and off for years. But this summer, my youngest daughter started getting super, super into hot yoga, so much so that she was just begging me to go just like every day. And And so she comes home one day, just lit up, so excited. And she said, they offered me a job. And she just was like really, really over the moon. And I was over the moon because that included her getting paid and me not having to pay for yoga. So it was just, it was a slam dunk. But I am not a person who is very, quote, good at yoga, which I know is like really not the way you're supposed to talk about yoga. But because I'm not flexible, I always resist yoga. But she pulled me in for the Pride class because I'm always up for celebrating Pride in June. And I got talking to Brooke, and I had no idea how closely she had been following my work and how much it had changed her life. It was kind of actually, Brooke, a bit of a revelatory moment for me, realizing that you really like needed the work, had done the work. So anyway, we got to talking and I said, Brooke, you must come on the podcast and tell your story, which brings us to today. So Brooke, I just want to hand it over to you as I often do. And I'm fascinated. I can't wait to hear how this work has touched your life.
Oh, thanks, Nicole. Yeah, it's such a small world. And it was absolutely the coolest moment to see you walk into Soulfire, because I have looked up to you and followed your work for so long that I was like, oh my gosh, Nicole Sachs is here. So I was having my own fangirl moment. So it was just, I think the universe definitely brought us together that day.
Yes.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously Rehoboth is a small town. So I had always heard your name, especially in the surf world, because I know Laurel, I think, does lessons with your daughter.
Yeah, she used to teach my daughters. Yes.
Yeah. So I had always heard your name. And then during the pandemic, well, I teach yoga, obviously, and I have a yoga studio. But what I've always, always said to people is I'm the most non-flexible yogi there is. Like, I can practice yoga every single day. And I'm like, okay, I still have no more range of movement in my hips. I still have no more range of movement in my hamstrings. And almost to the point of like frustration, like, I guess I will always be someone who can't have this beautiful forward fold or look like I'm lengthened and flexible as I practice. So it's something I've always thought about, especially owning a yoga studio and being a yoga teacher. And we have this idea of what a yoga teacher should look like and how we should be flexible and the pressure we put on ourselves. And during the pandemic, I can't remember what came first, but I definitely read Ruthie Lindsay's book, There You Are.
Oh, wow.
And then
yeah.
I think I listened. So I believe you're referenced in the book, or I listened to.
I'm fully referenced. I mean, she tells the whole story of us.
Yes.
In the book. Yeah.
Okay. Because then I fell in love with her, and I couldn't remember if it was more in, I think it was Almost 30 podcast. Anyway, she mentioned your work, and it got me thinking, I wonder what this journal speak is. And so I think I listened to a couple podcasts on what journal speak was. I listened to what Ruthie Lindsay was talking about. I believe you're on the Almost 30 podcast talking about, like, with the host on that show about the transformation they'd had from doing journal speak. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to see what happens if I commit to journaling. And I've never, ever, ever, ever liked journaling.
Yeah, a lot of people resist it. Yep.
The self-judgment. I like write and then I cross out and then I'm like judge myself through every single sentence that I write. And so when you were like, you're going to write it all out and then you're going to delete it, I was like, oh, I think I can do this.
Right.
So I spent, I think it was probably a month, 2 weeks, a month, doing just that, your journal speak, from how I understood it, that you really are getting out everything that you probably haven't said to someone, probably don't want to say to someone, without any judgment of myself. And I would hit delete and that was that. And I started to feel more flexible and I started to feel more open in my body. And then I was like, you know what? I think I should take a picture of how I feel today, which I sent you those pictures.
Yes.
And then I sent a picture after doing your journaling pretty heavily through that pandemic, weeks, months, and noticed an insane transition, not only physically, but also mentally. And it was the first time I linked how much we hold on to our bodies that we don't process, that we just stuff down, down, and down, and how much that affects our range of motion, the way that we feel, the energy that we have, the connection to our body. I'm not a processor of emotions. I think I let something happen and then I'm okay.
Right. You move on.
And you can only do that for so long. So I think I have 44 years of unprocessed feelings and emotions in my body. But yeah, you just like opened up this whole new world for me that I don't need to sit in a yoga room and do pigeon pose more. What I need to do is allow myself to process what I've held on to for so long.
Wow, that's amazing. So just so you guys know, because obviously a podcast is audio, Brooke, after we spoke and met at the yoga studio, sent me these before and after pictures, and they are remarkable. The difference is just remarkable in terms of how she's folding her body into this position. And I'm like, wow. So I guess my next question, Brooke, is were you in pain?
I would say, you know, not pain that I'm walking around and feel pain, but when I was on my mat and practicing, very much pain is in that it hurt to forward fold, and I'm a yoga teacher. It hurt to do half pigeon. It hurt to do lizard lunge. Like everything was so, 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 so tight.
Yes. So basically what you're saying is that like you had no idea that you had any more agency over changing your experience because you thought it's so funny. Some people are like all in their head and some people are all in their body. And it sounds like you were just like, oh, I'm a yoga teacher. And so through my lens and in my paradigm, if I want to be more flexible, I have to stretch more.
Yes. 1000%. Never put together the correlation. And, you know, we say it as yoga teachers, you know, pigeon pose can feel like a lot because you're holding stuff in your hips. But I don't think I fully processed what I needed to do to release what I wasn't processing. I was like, oh, well, I'll release it by doing more pigeon pose and more right. lizard lunge and like seeing, to be honest, zero results. And I practice yoga 5-6 days a week. Okay, I'll do yin classes. I'll hold pigeon longer. I'll hold lizard lunge longer to like no real avail or recognizable shift. And then journaling was like those pictures. I was like, well, one, I could barely even fold forward. And then being able to see those pictures, what happens when you actually give yourself permission to release what you're holding on to in your body that you're consciously not even aware of?
You know, I'll tell you. So when I did this class with Char a few weeks ago, I came up to you afterward and I said, I was literally in the class sobbing, which is actually kind of great because it's hot yoga in Soulfire. And so I was so sweating. There was sweat pouring down my face that it wasn't even really obvious that I was also sobbing because my face was already bright red and wet. But not that I give a shit, you know, I'm happy for people to see me sobbing. But I finished the class, and the reason I was sobbing, I think in addition to the release that was happening in my body, that was a physical release, was that I was so moved by your words. And what I love about what you're saying is that you were speaking your words prior to doing the journal speak, not even realizing the power of your words. Because when you said kind of like something along the lines of like, you can release what you are holding in your body, or like you mentioned holding in your hip, you before were just thinking like whatever energy or like,
yes.
You know, right. You weren't thinking like there is content to these emotions. So I love that you put that together.
Yes, exactly.
And so my another question I have for you is oftentimes people say after they've done, you know, consistent journal speak practice, they see physical changes in their body, but then they also see changes in the way they experience life and the world and how they meet situations. Have you experienced that at all?
Absolutely. I think it created far more just energy and lightness, because when you're holding on to all that and you're not even aware of it. So I feel like it not only allowed me physically, but like emotionally to feel lighter because so much had been released out of my body. And it's almost just, I realized how much my coping mechanism or whatever is to tell people I'm okay.
Right.
And I'm strong. And I got this. And the downfall of doing that for so long. So it gave me the ability to actually be okay with emotions and to allow myself in the moment to feel them so that possibly I could move through them without holding on to them for umpteenth years.
Right.
I grew up in a household where really happiness is kind of the only emotion you can feel. And so I think I was always labeled the strong one. You know, anything that happened was just like, I'm okay. I'm okay. There's no time to cry about that. There's no time to be sad about that because it truly isn't something that we should feel. We should just feel good, 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 good. And so doing this journaling allowed me to realize that's not working at all.
Right.
And you actually have to give yourself permission to be sad. You have to give yourself permission to be upset, to be fearful, to be whatever, and actually feel it. That, oh, I'm okay, isn't working.
So why do you think in your family, by the way, I understand now why you connected so much to Ruthie Lindsay, because that's exactly her story.
Yes.
That in her family, the only emotion that was welcome was, well, you know, you're great, you're okay, you're lovely, you're happy, you know. And Ruthie and I have taught together for years, and I love her story because, you know, obviously for her, it had much more detriment than it did for you. But I mean, it brought her to a place where her whole body was really rebelling against her and really inviting her in a very forceful way to feel. You obviously had a more gentle invitation, but I mean, it's still the same invitation. So why do you think it was so, I mean, and only share as much as you're comfortable, but
sure.
Why do you think it was only possible to be accepted if you were happy?
I don't know if I know the answer. I don't, and maybe my mom doesn't allow her, you know, I don't know. It's funny, like even I'm 44 years old and I just posted something. I did a breath work and it brought me to emotions. And I posted on Instagram this picture of me with like tears in my eyes. And they really were emotions I had moved through. Not even 30 seconds later, my mom, is everything okay? You know, I love you. I was like,
wow.
Mom, it's okay for me to feel whatever I felt. Like, that's okay. And she's like, it really isn't, Brooke. I need you to be okay. And like, it's like that. So I think that, I don't know where it stems from for my mother or if it's just a protective thing that she can't handle me feeling sad because then she may feel sad, or I don't know. But that right there shows you how pretty much everything was. Like, it just, it probably scares her to feel, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the truth. You know, Gabor Maté talks about generational trauma. And I think that it's more than just generational trauma. It's generational feelings. It's generational coping. You know, as
yes.
kids, when we watch our parents and the way they handle things, we are given a directive,
yes.
both genetically and experientially, of like, this is the way you handle things. And it's funny that you say that, because when I think about my mom was very similar, which is like, we had hardships in our lives and she would just dust it off. I never saw her cry.
Yes.
Literally, I just don't even have one memory of my mother crying, except one time when I was really young, she got hit in the face with a tennis ball. And I saw her tearing up, but I actually remember how terrifying it was for me to see my mother upset, because I so counted on her to be strong, because clearly she always was. And so I think that's why I had so much TMS, because I did the same thing. And I'm
yes.
only learning at 51, you know, maybe probably in the same trajectory as you, probably started in my early to mid 40s, to really understand that A, it's essential for my health to not be okay all the time. And B, I'm not helping my children by always being okay. Like my kids actually need to see me say I'm not okay right now in order to have permission to do the same. So I'm sure that's like a pretty similar situation.
Yes, I have like full body chills because the second you said like I haven't seen my mom cry, I was like scanning and I'm like, yeah, I mean, she cries. She's an emotional woman, but not an emotional as like life was sad. Like she has, you know, like when I got married, there's tears and there's emotion, but not towards like, hey, I'm upset. I feel pain. I feel sadness. I feel stressed. I feel like there's no acknowledgement of that. She's always been so, 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 so strong for me. And only now am I realizing that isn't what I needed.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. So Lisa and I, my partner and I are at this point in the midst of creating curriculum for a relationship course and using the lens of chronic, because we all have chronic stuff. We have chronic thought patterns. We have chronic pain. We have chronic anxiety. And oftentimes we have chronic relationship issues, which are the same things keep coming up again and again, because we don't either know we have the power to shift them, or we don't know how, we don't have the tools. And so I'm wondering if you found any differences in your relationships since looking at yourself, because the one thing I'll say is if A plus B equals C, meaning if we're going to like just postulate that A plus B equals C, if you change A, then even if B doesn't change, C must change, you know, like that's just
right.
Science. So like, have you seen any shifts in your relationship or any kind of like thoughts about that?
Yes. And I think that's even in the last, definitely this year has been a big year for like me just continuing to like get a deeper connection with myself and peel away some of the wounds and all that. And this, I've been married to my wife now for 7 years. I would say our relationship has gotten more vulnerable, more intimate, more like deeper in the past year and a half. And we've both been in like the work of unpacking things. And I can look at my marriage before. There was no vulnerability. It was all a mask. Neither one of us were dealing with anything. So I think the deeper connection I'm having with myself is allowing a far deeper connection with my wife and people within my life as well.
That's amazing. That's so amazing. You know, it's like, I love the adage, it ran in my family till it ran into me. And yes. I love the concept that like we can do at any age, we can do personal work that changes other people, because living your truth is just a flat out open invitation for other people to do the same. So I love that. And I also, just for all of you guys that were at Omega a few weeks ago, I begged Brooke and Kat, her wife, to come to Omega, and they couldn't work it out because it was too last minute, but hopefully you'll join us there next year, because it was like the message that they give during, because here's the thing, I live in my heart and in my mind. I don't live enough in my body, and that's my work. But yoga and embodiment are things that I want to always bring into my experiences, because otherwise all we're doing is talking between the head and the heart, which of course is hugely important, but we also have to include the body. And so I love that. So we'll have to make that happen for next summer.
We would love that.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So next question I have is, you did a journal speak practice. You did a journal speak practice kind of out of nowhere, maybe even out of a little fear and negativity of journaling in the past. And people do struggle with it. They struggle with consistency. They struggle with the fact that they find excuses not to do it because, as I say, resistance to TMS is just another form of TMS. So if your headache or your stomach ache is trying to divert you from feeling your feelings, your negative self-talk or your resistance to journal speak is just another headache. It's another reason to not feel your feelings, because you don't want to go there because your voice, which whispers in your head, says, no, you're too tired, or no, you have something better to do. So did you experience any resistance, or was it easy sailing?
I think when I discovered it, and I think everything's in like divine timing, I was so ready to explore something. And if I can find a way to have an ounce of like personal growth or understanding or development, maybe to a flaw, I will dive right in. And it probably worked in my favor as a pandemic, because what else were we doing but at home? But one thing that's always been like so important to me is my morning, whether that's meditation, coffee. Like, I always carve out like 30 minutes. My phone's on airplane mode for the first 30 minutes of my morning. So to me, I almost just like added it into the morning that I already have. And I probably lucked out that it was the pandemic and my schedule was a little bit lighter. But if I'm really in the mood and ready for some like breakthroughs, I can be really committed to what it's going to take. And I kept seeing results, which kept me in the process. So.
Right. And that's a good piece of advice for anyone out there who is experiencing resistance. You have to give yourself consistency in order to see those results. Results don't just come overnight. They come with showing up for yourself consistently and in whatever way you do, day after day. And then once you start seeing the results, I often say it's your responsibility to believe it, to not like write it off. Like, so one way Brooke could have written it off has been like, well, you know, I have been stretching all these years, so it finally kicked in, or like whatever, instead of giving the power to the practice that you have been doing and knowing that it's changing you.
Yes. And I think for which this has been a practice is anytime I do, I'm like, all right, I'm doing the journal speak 2 weeks, 30 days, whatever it is. The first day that I don't do it, it is my personality to be like, all right, well then, since I already missed one day, I'm not going to do the next. Forget about this practice. And so in the past couple of years, I've just told myself, all right, you committed to 2 weeks, which is 14 days or 30 days. If you miss a day, stay committed to the 14 practices, not necessarily 14 consecutive days.
Right.
So that has like really helped me, because before I'd be like, well, I missed a day, I guess there goes that practice.
That's actually fantastic advice, because in my work, a lot of people do what I call the 28-day challenge, which is on the first day, I want them to take inventory of their symptoms and their energy level and the way they feel, you know, just kind of take a basic inventory, you know, maybe give them numbers from 1 to 10, you know, and then do the practice for 28 days and then take that inventory again and see their growth. And I love the idea of the 28-day challenge being 28 of your days instead of 4 weeks.
Yes. Like that 28 days might happen in 40. Like right now I'm very big into breathwork. Right now I committed to doing 30 days of breathwork. Well, I missed a few days and I was like, okay, Brooke, this is where you practice this. Just do 30 days. It's not going to be 30 and 30. It may be 30 and 40. It may be 30 and 45, but just commit now to the 30 days. And it's allowed me to stay on track, because I am easy to say, like, it's not perfect anymore, forget about it.
Yeah, it's such, and I feel like women do this to themselves a lot, and I maybe men do too, but I don't know why. I just feel like when I speak to women, what I find a lot is that we're so quick to give up on ourselves. We're so quick to shame ourselves. Like, I used to do that with food. I used to do that, like, I'm going to eat healthy. And like, then if I eat something shitty, or like if before bed I like find myself with a bag of chips that I can't put down, it's like, well, forget it. I've ruined it now. I may as well never eat healthy again.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah. That's not helpful.
No, it's not. Yeah. Let's not kick ourselves when we're already down. But yeah, we do. We do that.
So I guess my unless there's anything else you wanted to add, my last question that I had for you is like, and there's no pressure if you can't like come up with something on the spot, but like when I was in your class, the things you were saying, and I can't even remember them, but I was so present in the moment, the things you and Kat were saying, she and her wife co-taught this incredible class. Mm-hmm. They just were so meaningful to me. Like, You're looking out as you speak on this podcast, potentially to millions of people that are really suffering, and they're not just suffering by the feeling of in their bodies. They're suffering because it's fucking hard. You know, it's hard to be helpless and hopeless and feeling like you've gone from doctor to specialist to treatment and like nothing's helping you. And maybe you're at the beginning of this journey, or maybe you're hitting a plateau. I mean, do you have words maybe from your own experience or for the things you bring into Soulfire to like, you know, to use this platform to help people, because it really helped me?
Let me think for a second.
And it doesn't have to be anything revelatory. I mean, just kind of what is your philosophy? Like, what is the philosophy you bring into that studio? Because I know it's lighting my kid up, you know? And so like what is, cause I want to say just I'll give you a second to think. On a personal note, I know very little about yoga and yoga studios, but Soulfire Collective, which is in Rehoboth Beach and in what other town?
Bethesda, Maryland.
Bethesda, Maryland is just a fucking special place. Like, it is a community. It is a message. It is a paradigm. It's a way of looking at life because I'm watching it happen through my child and the way that she's like adjusted the depth of her decision to be in concert with herself. And so I don't know. I mean, that's kind of what I'm asking because I just think whatever you guys are doing, it's a special thing.
Oh, thank you. I mean, truly, that is all we ever want is for anyone to walk into our studio. And so maybe we'll say life, to walk into life with this understanding that there's nothing that you need to fix or change or shift to be the person you're meant to be. You just have to allow yourself to like be in, to feel, to be okay with the range of human emotion. And I think that's like, maybe that's the biggest part. It's okay to feel like you're suffering or to feel pain or to feel sadness. We can't control a lot of that. Really, we can't control any of it, but what we can choose and what you can choose is like the energy and the response you bring into the situation.
Yes.
The pain that we're going through, the suffering that we're going through, the only thing that we can actually control is like how we show up in that moment. And maybe it's in that very, very moment, how we respond in that very, very moment to it, the energy we bring in that very moment. And then after a while, those responses start to add on to each other and then possibly shift into a bigger release or a bigger change or a bigger shift.
And I think community is so important. I'm always talking about community. I'm always talking about it like in my work. That's why I like to bring people to Omega. I do virtual retreats online. I have a membership community that people can join. So monthly, you know, we're together on Zoom every month twice and we have a private community. All this stuff is available to people. I think also what I think you and Kat are doing is creating community. So so people can be around other people who are doing the work, you know, and reflecting back to them. And I love that each person's practice, because I think that your studio mirrors my philosophy, which is every person's practice is their practice. Like you're not there to look at your neighbor or to assess whether or not you're progressing at the pace that somebody else is. And I think that's a really important message for this work as well, because some people say, well, I've been on your online communities and so-and-so who used to say that she had this level of pain seems to be doing much better. And I'm not, you know, changing at that pace. And like, it's just so important that your only competition is you 3 months from now or 6 months from
1,000%.
Now. So that resonates with you, right?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And that's the practice that we, in the space that we have, and you saw that everyone doing their own thing and on their own page and on their own journey. And yeah, the competition is with yourself, with no one else. And we are a feeling-based practice. Like if it feels good to you, honor it. Nobody who comes to our studio or no teacher in our studio is asking for a beautiful warrior two. That isn't anything. To me, that's not even yoga. Yoga is when you give yourself permission to like be in your body with whatever that looks like.
Well, I know why Charlotte cannot wait to get up every day. I mean, Charlotte works a few days a week at Soulfire and like is there every single day. Like every day it's like, drive me to yoga. And like, first of all, it's so healthy for her body, but it's so healthy for her sweet developing heart, you know? Yes. And like the way she's like, you know, what it must feel like to be 15 and look at your body like I remember, you know? I mean, it's hard. And I love that your studio doesn't have mirrors that you have to stare at yourself.
No.
Because that like really is a trigger when you're trying to like you're looking at yourself and you're looking at the yogi next to you who basically belongs in like India for the exactly. amount that they can, you know, turn themselves into a pretzel.
Yes, it's your space to be in your body, way more feeling, overthinking, and we have no idea. That person that's in the pretzel, they could have been born with the most incredible flexibility. And you in your shape is exactly enough because it's you.
Yes. Yes, I love it. I love it. All right. Well, Brooke, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much. It was an absolute honor, truly. Thank you.
Amazing. All right, guys. Well, if you're looking to find Brooke and Kat, Soulfire Collective Yoga Studio is in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and in Bethesda, Maryland. An amazing experience. So if you're local, definitely find Brooke or Kat and tell them that you heard about them here, because I would just love to see if that happens. All that stuff is always very delightful to me. And if you are enjoying the podcast, please hop over to iTunes and rate and review it. It helps people find the podcast and help themselves. And until next week, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast, and I will see you then. Bye-bye.